Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I wonder who I should turn. Which one of us should be a Dark Lord Snare?
I didn't get any of that. Did you get it? I didn't hear.
Which one of us should be a Dark Lord? I would say that would be Todd.
Yeah.
I'd have to go Todd for that.
My last name is Black, so you know.
Yeah, and your Black Magic Wolf avatar has like a hood. Yeah. You fit the bill.
I fit the bill, and my real life nickname is Black Magic. So there you go. And you can already hear him. It's Tellius Tyler.
Oh yeah, hey, I'm here. I'm kind of trying not to jump onto my Switch right now and play some Rainmaker. Because I'm kind of addicted to
you really
Splatoon
love Rainmaker.
Ranked mode. So, Rainmaker, I always flip between my favorite two. It's either Splat Zones or Rainmaker. They're both so
loving,
fun.
I'm still loving Salmon Run, which is a perfect segue into what have you been playing? Obviously, we've all been playing Splatoon 2, as you can clearly hear in the excitement in our voices. Although, surprisingly, we haven't played together this week.
No.
We've been so busy. I was at a con, and you all were busy. We're going to have to try something this weekend. Cool?
I'm going to be away, but we can try. I'll try it. I probably have Wi-Fi, so.
Okay, we'll do what we can.
Well, this weekend, I mean, the first Saturday, we have another event, but I'm not sure when the next Salmon Run schedule is going to be, so...
Yeah, Salmon Run needs to be fixed. Dear gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got to play it some of this week, which I was glad, and dude, I got a story to tell you guys later, but it's just like, come on, just give it to us every day.
Is Team Mayo sticking it to,
Wait,
this
what?
This weekend's it's Team Mayo this weekend, right?
Oh, Team Mayo. Will?
Shut up. Sorry, what did you think?
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. All right. Will's overreaction aside, yes, there is a Splatfest coming, which we will all be playing this week in this weekend in various forms. Does it start tomorrow / Friday or is it Saturday?
Friday,
I can't remember.
Saturday midnight in the morning.
Okay. Saturday 12:01 or whatever. Okay. But yeah, this was Splatfest, the first official Splatfest. You know, no pre-launch Splatfest. This is the real Splatfest. You'll get items for this one. Team Ketchup versus Team Mayo, and let me be absolutely clear here. Two of us have picked our choices because of who our favorite off the hook girl is, and one of those was logical and objective and fought tooth and nail to decide his choice because he loves ketchup and mayo equally, unlike someone on this panel who doesn't like either at all.
Yeah, I hate them both.
I couldn't believe that. I mean, I know we're a Nintendo podcast, but I'm really curious. Why?
Because they're both just disgusting. So, like, Here's the thing. Ketchup doesn't enhance anything. It's fake news. People always try to act like ketchup is great on fries.
Stop saying fake news.
I'm addicted to saying fake news. I really am. Ketchup, like, you know, fries are better without ketchup. Hot dogs are better without ketchup. Everybody always puts ketchup on those things, and they're, like, just ruining the delicious product for no reason. And mayo is, like, the similar sort of situation where I guess, like, you put on tuna fish, and it's, like, it's not, like, the worst thing in the world. So, like, but it's better without it. Like, much like everything else, it's better without mayo.
Wow.
In the end, you know, you have to look to the leaders to decide. Like, if you don't know what to do, if you're like me and you're lost, you need to look to a leader to decide. So I looked to Pearl, you know, the leader of Off the Hook.
Stop.
And she said, Team Mayo. So I said, you know what? Team Mayo. And she made a great point, too. She did mention that mayo, eggs are involved in mayo, and who doesn't like eggs? So as bad as mayo is, at least it has a good ingredient.
You'd be surprised you don't like eggs, actually.
And tomatoes are disgusting.
Oh,
so,
shut up.
The point that she made about ketchup basically being tomato jelly? A great point by Pearl. Phenomenal point. That's kind of disgusting when you think of it that way.
No, well, and much like Morena said, ketchup isn't jelly at all. Not even close.
But it is.
It's
like,
not.
It is, though. It's sugar added to tomato.
I could debunk that in one statement. If you heated up jelly, go with me on this. If you heated up jelly, it would form, it would go into a pure liquid. If you heat up ketchup, it stays the way it is. That's how, that's the difference.
It's tomato jelly. You look it up. Google is ketchup jam, or there must be a difference between jam and jelly.
There is a difference.
If a tomato is a fruit, then ketchup is a jelly. I think ketchup is a jelly. Yeah, ketchup is a jelly, according to a reliable source at Bungie.net.
I'm currently looking at the benefits of ketchup. The reason I'm going to argue that ketchup is the best thing, one of the best condiments that ever existed. One, it increases ink count, quote unquote. It cuts cholesterol, it improves your eyesight, and basically helps make healthy food bearable to eat. So pretty much it's the best condiment out there to exist. End of story.
Wrong. Wrong. Much like the man I'm impersonating. When there's really... first of all, unlike the man I'm impersonating... You know, your argument is actually weak, so I can't just, you know, if I just said wrong, I wouldn't do it justice. But your opinion is so far, you know, it's so far gone. You say it makes healthy things more bearable to eat, but what about unhealthy things that are delicious? Like
even better.
It just takes away the joy of eating a delicious salty snack that is French fries or hot dogs or what else do you put ketchup on? Like I can't even, I'm just, I can't even
burgers,
think about it.
Burgers, hot
burgers,
dogs,
burgers, of course. It's like the main thing. Also way better without ketchup.
Oh my gosh.
And it lies to you too, because again.
Lies?
It lies to you. It looks like it should be good. It's this like red thing that. Red looks good on food usually, and you just look at it and you're like, wow, this looks great. I should eat this. But then you do it, you're like, this is actually just horribly disgusting. I am so disappointed in myself for falling for ketchup's trick. I should have known because tomatoes are also lying to everyone, and they're also disgusting.
Oh my god.
Okay, just so I can keep this somewhat educational, here's the difference between jelly and jam. The difference between jelly and jam is that jelly is made strictly from the juice of fruits, while jam is made from crushed fruit. Specifically, jelly is made by crushing fruit, then straining out everything else but the juice, hence my heating up the jelly argument. The juice is then boiled, typically with sugar and pectin, don't know what that is, the latter of which reacts with the sugar and heat to give the jelly a thicker consistency for spreading, which is why if you look at jam and jelly, they're different. How they spread is very, very different. So that is the difference between jelly and jam. And actually, that's not a bad comparison to how ketchup is jam and...
Great point by Pearl. Excellent point by Pearl.
And mayonnaise is jelly. Actually, I'd say ketchup and mayonnaise are both jam because they're easily spreadable.
But no, you forget mayonnaise is not made from fruit. I'm not
saying on a fruit standpoint. I know that's entirely different. I'm just saying from a spreadability standpoint.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Right.
It's like,
right.
This message on food is brought to you by the Food and Drug Administration.
And mayonnaise also doesn't lie to you. Like, it looks disgusting. It's like just because it's kind of like goopy. It just doesn't look good. Doesn't taste good. But it's honest. At least it's honest.
what is this? We're discussing whether ketchup talks to you and how mayonnaise is honest. What is this?
It's a logical argument. That's what it is.
It's not logical at all. I refute that. It's wrong. Totally wrong. Absolutely wrong. You over the wall. All over the wall. Gone.
As far as I'm concerned right now, like three of our cohorts, three staff here on the Outer Haven, Clinton and you two have chosen the side of male.
Yep.
And for that, you guys are my enemy. That's not...
The upset is the Team Pearl always has the best team or players fighting for.
Oh,
wrong.
Last time the category that Pearl's side, I'm totally forgetting what the splat. Oh yeah, Team Cake won, was like highest winning percentage, and it lost the other two categories.
Yeah, I still don't understand that, but whatever. And hey, for the record, I was on Team Ice Cream, as was all of us, and that proves that the best players weren't on Team Pearl. So what do you have to say about that, Tyler? That's what
that,
I thought.
You, that was a great argument. I'm not going to admit that we're not the best players.
To dissuade some of Will's, you are my enemies, you know, thing. I chose mayonnaise for this reason and this reason alone. Because of how I live in my apartment, I like to make meals that'll last me for days, if not a week. And so last Sunday, or Monday, I made a large vat of chicken breast. And what I'll do is I'll take my hamburger buns, and then I'll put mayonnaise on the top and the bottom bun, put cheese in between those, and stuff them on the chicken breast. And it's really, really delicious. It's not deceiving at all, Tyler. And so I ate that for like a week, and then I was just like, well, I gotta make my choice. And then finally enough, I had steak fries with my chicken breast, and I had ketchup with that. So it's just like, I love ketchup and mayonnaise equally, but since I had mayonnaise more recently and more in quantity, I decided to choose mayo. So I really couldn't care less who wins. It wasn't like ice cream where we were like, praise be to ice cream, it's lord of all, and all that stuff. You know, this one's just like, I'm okay with it. Whoever wins, I will get my points, I will get my rank, and I will get my, you know, the bonus items so I can improve my clothing. That's all I care about.
The super snails.
So that's all I care about.
And
yes, please wrap this up. We were talking about food way too much.
Yes, we were talking about food way too long. Yes. Also, just briefly on my side, alongside of Splatoon 2, I actually have reached my rank up to A rank now, A rank minus in one of the modes. I don't remember, but yeah, I'm just wondering how are you guys doing in the ranks?
I haven't played it yet. I've been so busy this week, and you guys partially know why. And but I'm probably going to do it soon, just so I can play League Battle with you guys. But I haven't played it yet. Sorry.
I'm very close to A minus in Rainmaker. I'm a B plus in Splat Zones and a B in Tower Control.
Oh, impressive, impressive. And yeah, alongside ranking, actually have been going back to my 3DS and actually have bought Miitopia, which I have set last week. And just to give a bite-sized summary, it pretty much is what you think as it is. It's, as best I can describe, it's basically a bite-sized story RPG for you. Think of it as like a little ant farm RPG, but basically like in the same philosophy as Tomodachi Life, but you can actually control your avatar. Like, you basically like choose your characters, choose any enemies. Heck, I have one of my wizard as the late Iwata, and actually, yeah, Iwata, Reggie, yeah, pretty much all the major staff of Nintendo. Half of them as my crewmates, help them out, and just basically you see them interact. Like, I still remember, like, one person, I think, like, my character was actually jealous of Samus for giving a gift to Iwata. Imagine that. So it's more or less, like, just seeing the antics that unfolds, even, like, I'm in desert right now, and like, you get an acupuncture by sitting on a cactus. Yeah.
No comment.
So, yeah, but overall, it's a pretty interesting game. Like, it's really a low-effort kind of game that if you want a game that plays by itself, this pretty much is that. Like, you only basically play this game if you want to, like, see antics and just have a little enjoyment if you like. So, again, same philosophy as Tomodachi Life, but with RPG mix. But if, nice. If that's up your alley, then please, go by means. Definitely try out Miitopia.
It was $40, though, right?
Yes, it's only $40. Yes.
Yeah, I think that was the problem for me, was that I don't feel like that's a full-priced game.
Granted, because once you find out the pattern of, like, again, you go to the end, and it pretty much is a repeat cycle, so you find the tedium of it very quite easily. So, I mean, if you can find this thing in a bargain bin, yes, definitely do so. But overall, that it's a pretty enjoyable experience. I mean, nothing triple A, but definitely is an enjoyable experience.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good to hear.
I was just
going to throw out that I've been playing some classic Fire Emblem Path of Radiance on the GameCube.
Nice.
I played through it not too long ago. I think like 2 weeks, or not 2 weeks ago, like a month ago maybe. But this time I picked random characters to put on my final team. So I went to a random number generator online, and I just assigned every character a number and picked, I think you bring 14 units to the final battle. So
pretty sure.
Counting Ike. So I put Ike as somebody I'll use for sure. And then I pulled 13 numbers as my final team. And then I pulled like six other numbers for alternates for when the main characters or the characters on my final team aren't available. And I've been playing through it like that. And it is a ton of fun to go back and play through in that kind of wacky way, because I got Brom, this like farmer knight guy who's really just outclassed by the other knight that you get early in the game, Gaitri. And I have to use him. So it's kind of changed the way I approach giving experience to which characters, how I use my bonus experience, and how I even approach the level, because I never use the Laguz units in that game. But now I have Lethe and Mordecai and Marum. I drew all of them for my team, and I've been just putting them out in the battle, and it really does change the way you approach finding, getting to villages that thieves are trying to reach, and it makes a lot of it way easier because they're so strong in the beginning. And I always think of the one of the chapters, you have to flee and get to a ship on a dock, and there's three villages you have to visit, and they're all really challenging to get to. But when you have that team composition, it's actually not so bad. So I've really enjoyed that. Plus, I've seen more support conversations from characters that I didn't usually use. So yeah. It's kind of introducing me to characters who I've always known but never really spent any time with. So
yeah, Path of Radiance was always one that I, every single time I've done a playthrough, and if I do another one soon, I'll do it again. But I always try to do something different. That's where I grew to love Nephany. Because I never used her in like my first two run-throughs, and I'm like, well, I got this girl for a reason, let's just use her. And then she turned into this total BA warrior chick that, once you bring her into Radiant Dawn, is like one of the most dominant units in the entire game when she gets to be a sentinel. I mean, my stuff...
She's broken. That's a great point.
Well, broken be awesome.
She's so good. She's so good.
She's so awesome, she's broken. But I'd still date her. And then Mia, I totally learned to love Mia. She's a great swordsman. And that Morim was one that I always had early on, and then I slowly phased him out, but I would still use him at a heartbeat. And then when he got to Radiant Dawn, he was just kind of useless, sadly, because they took away the one thing that made him Morim, his transformation. It was like, he's not supposed to change back in battle. That's the whole point. I digress. But yeah, I might try that if I go back into Path of Radiance. I will definitely have to try that, because that does sound like fun. As for me, I've been playing Splatoon. I've been playing Heroes, which we'll be talking about soon in the news. And then hopefully, between one of the many websites I work for, I'm hoping to get the upcoming Batman Telltale Season 2.
Ah, yes.
That comes out on the 8th, and, you know, Batman's like really, really strong in like every medium he's in right now. So I look for, and I'm a big Riddler fan, so I can't wait to see Riddler in this game. They had a new trailer for it come out. Sadly, it's not coming out to Switch as of yet, but you know, there's always hope.
Riddler is an all-time, he's one of my all-time favorite characters too. I know you watch Gotham. I love the Riddler on Gotham.
Oh yeah, Corey Michael Smith is great as Riddler. I want to write a Batman movie or a graphic novel, and I have like the perfect, it's going to be like a three-part thing, and it's going to start with the Riddler, and it's called The Riddles That Bind. And I have this great idea of how to break it down, how to use like a bunch of popular and not popular Batman villains, and because the Riddler just speaks to me. He's great. So
I mean, might I add that the Riddler in Telltale looks eerily familiar, similar to Arrow.
He does, actually, with the hood and everything. But he's also got like a jigsaw thing going on with like the whole death trap machine thing. So, I mean, that's kind of off-putting. But then again, look at how they did the Joker. When they did their whole like what's coming up for Telltale, they talked about how they wanted to take the Batman mythology and just break it in like every way they felt they could without breaking what Batman is fully. And anyone who played the first season knows exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm going to give them this leeway because I'm interested to see how they pull it off. So we'll see how it goes. But with that, we do have a lot of news to talk about because there's been some very interesting things that have happened in the last week. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. Now, I want to start off with basically what we kind of left off with last week, which was the Fire Emblem Heroes Direct. We had no idea what to expect from it. We were just told it was going to be there. And by the end of it, we were incredibly shocked at all the things that was announced in 17 minutes. Tyler, since you wrote the article, would you like to take point on this?
Yeah, sure. There was an insane amount of announcements. I remember when we started, we watched it together.
Oh, yeah.
The first, 5 minutes or so, we were like, oh, well, that's okay. Like, they announced a new Tempest Trials, some small changes to that. Now, if you have the focus characters, they'll get stat increases, much like the enemies have. So you'll fight, you know, sometimes you fight these computer enemies that have 60 health, and it's like an Alm, and Alm's max HP is like 48 or whatever. Now your characters will have that same advantage if you use the bonus heroes. They also announced a new arena mode that features squad assault-like battles, where you'll go through 7 teams in a row, and each time you have to use a whole new team of 4. So you have to do 28 characters. And you'll battle through the arena that way, in addition to the regular mode, which is great. They're offering a lot more feathers, so they're kind of opening up another venue for players to grab their feathers. Extremely grateful. They announced the voting gauntlet that's going on now. We'll hit on that in a little bit. But the biggest news, there were two gargantuan pieces of news that they saved for the end. The first one is Hero Fest is coming back next week. Hero Fest will arrive featuring Ike, Ninny, and Jenny, and Julia. And that is a 5% chance to pull those characters just from the get-go. You'll have a 10% chance of pulling a 5-star every time you pull, which is really, really helpful for players like who don't have the RNG gods on their side. So that was helpful. They're also giving a ton of bonus orbs. They're giving 20 bonus orbs twice. So they're doing 10 days you can sign in, and you can claim your orb bonuses in addition to the regular daily login bonus. So you get 4 orbs a day, and they're doing 2 sessions of that. So it's 40 total orbs in addition to the regular orbs that you're going to be getting. So it's Orb-palooza. Like, the orb shortages are going to be a thing of the past for a little while at least.
Yeah, oh, and they announced, jinx it.
Yeah. And they announced a smaller thing, the Grand Hero Battle Vaulter. So Sacred Stones could be getting more love, keeping my fingers crossed. But the greatest thing of all, they're swapping the 4-star and the 3-star rates. So normally you start out, right now you have a 58% chance of pulling a 3-star.
Sucks.
Stinks.
And now they flipped them. So you have a 58% chance of getting a 4-star, a 36% chance of a 3-star, and then the classic 6% of getting a 5-star. So total game changer there.
That's huge. That's really huge, because I mean, we all, since I've learned of the smoke trick, that every time now that I don't see a smoke, I'm like, ah, shoot. But now it seems like we're going to be seeing that smoke a lot more.
Should be at least, you know, 60% of the time. So that's great. The biggest thing is free summoning is coming to Heroes once per banner. So every new banner that appears, I think it starts August 15th. Might be August 8th. Got to double check.
I think it's Hero Fest. I really do, because that would make sense.
Yeah, if it was Hero Fest, then it's August 8th. For some reason, my brain was telling me the 15th.
Don't worry, I'll look it up. Just keep going.
Yeah. You'll be able to summon 5 characters for free. No orbs at all. You can get your dream character, they said, in for free. So that is absolutely incredible, and it really does go back to what we were saying last week. They've made so much money off of this game, it's time for them to throw the players a bone, and that's what they're doing right now. So even without any orbs, you're going to get a chance to pull more 5-stars, because you'll be able to summon way, way more often. So
yeah, and I just confirmed it will start August 7th, which is right when the Hero Fest comes. So
perfect.
That is perfect. So for people like me who struggle mightily to get 5-star focus heroes, 5-star heroes, period, and have to listen incessantly and watch Twitter feeds because his friends keep summoning 5-stars even though they claim that their luck is horrible. I sense an apology coming, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to take the floor again, visit you guys so soon after claiming to know Todd's pain. I was wrong. I gotta be honest. I don't know Todd's pain. My 6% alm rate was, you know, I thought that was the end of the RNG gods blessing me, and I would never pull another 5-star. But then the Norian summer banner came out, and it was 3 a.m. and I grabbed my phone And I said, I'm just going to summon on this. What the heck? And I pulled Elise on my first pull. And that was very exciting to me. Then I didn't pull any other 5-star for that one round. But then I thought, I got lucky. Let me pull again. And I got 5-star Corrin and 5-star Leo. And then I said, okay, I've been getting really, really lucky. Let me just try on the quick riposte banner. And I pulled another 5-star Leo.
But which one?
Regular Leo.
That's right.
So out of my last 4 summoning sessions, I've received 4 5-star heroes, and I didn't complete the ring on all of them. So as of right now, 4 of my last 15 characters have been 5-star heroes. Mm-hmm. Which is absurdly lucky. Like, you don't understand how absurdly lucky that is. So I thought that I knew Todd's pain. I really did.
Nope.
It turns out that Todd's just not blessed by the gods.
Nope.
And, you know, I am. And I hate to, you know, I hate to put it that way, but that's just, you know, it's the reality of the situation. Todd, I'm very sorry. I was fake news. I thought, you know, I might have just run out of luck and been able to understand your pain, but I will never understand your pain.
No, you won't.
It's just not possible.
Nope.
Nobody can. No. So. I am sorry.
Yeah, you are sorry. You should be sorry. Now, to be absolutely clear here, I need to be clear here. If you had only pulled, let's just say Elise, because that was your first character. If you had just pulled Elise, that's fine. Because if you recall, I pulled Sonya in my first of Celica's banner. It happens. That would have been fine. I would have been like, yeah, that sounds right for Tyler. But you didn't stop there.
No.
Did you?
No, I did not.
You got 2 5-stars in one pull. I have never gotten 2 5-stars in one pull.
Back to back. And I freaked out. It was 3 a.m. I screamed. I was like, my parents weren't home this week. I was like, thank God, because I was like, oh my God, that's Leo. That's Leo. I didn't even look at my phone. Yeah. I just was like assuming it was crap.
So, yeah. So, and again, I wasted like 60 to 80 orbs, maybe 100. I don't remember trying to get Matilda or Gray out of Alms Banner. Who did I get? I get Sheena on my last one, who I didn't even want. Okay, so the next time you complain about not getting your characters, you remember who really doesn't have the luck in this podcast family. Alright?
And for the record, the one who wanted to make a Dark Lord in Miitopia, I'm looking at you, Tyler. You have black magic.
Yeah, man. It all makes sense now. Yeah, that's true. I do have, I can't explain it. And I want to say that I actually am a fan of the Norian Summer Banner. It's different than the Elysian Summer Banner to me. Because
I was talking with our friend Cromcho, and I was like, this is a lot better. Even though I still don't like that, you know, Xander and Leo in this, because if you remember their characters, they really wouldn't do this like at all. But then again, Xander was in the Easter Banner. So, you know, at least he's got precedent, as bad as it is. And then,
well, their outfits come straight from Fates, where they had the beach DLC. So it's actually Xander and Leo both wore those costumes in that beach DLC.
Well, there you go.
But and Camilla was the other option. She could do one for all the kids or all the royals, and they didn't put Camilla in, which I just have so much respect for, because they could have just put Camilla in and they would have been absurd prophets. And they said, no, we're going to draw the line. We're going to put Corrin in because Corrin's the main character.
Yeah, I respect that too, because that would have been so easy. Like, so much money would have been trying to get a bathing suit Camilla.
And might I add, like, Xander has 3 forms now, currently. He does.
But focusing back on the direct, this is really great news, especially the Grand Hero Battle for Valtur. And It's good stuff, because again, Sacred Stones is awesome. He's gonna have item that's unique to him, and I like that. And then the Hero Fest, I can't wait for, because I want Ike. Gosh, I want Ike. And you know the other 3 are nice too. And the free summon session is great. The stat reversals are great. You know, this does feel like a true celebration. I can't believe it's been 6 months. You know?
Yes, only half a year, right?
Actually, it's officially 6 months because it came out on, was it the 2nd of February? 2nd
yes.
or 3rd? So,
February
yeah, so it's as
third.
Of the time of this recording, it has officially been 6 months. Fire Emblem Heroes, again, over 11 million downloads, 115 million profit, you know, from the game, which is outstanding. So
it still has an IV directly to my wallet too that sucks out the money.
So for all of you who have been playing Fire Emblem Heroes and enjoying it and been helping make this a success, we thank you, because this celebration is just as much as about you as is about me and Tyler and Willow, who of course has pledged 50% of that profit to Nintendo. So I don't know how they did, you know, 55 million together, but hey, I don't judge. Yes, I do. I judge so much.
Listen, we have to be the leading podcast on Fire Emblem Heroes too. Like, we are the Fire Emblem Heroes podcast, the official destination
much, yeah.
for Fire Emblem Heroes content.
I wouldn't go that far. I really wouldn't. But if you want to look it up, I dare one of you to look up Fire Emblem Heroes podcast and see what we find. Because I'm sure there is someone out there that just dedicates their lives to Fire Emblem Heroes. I mean, go ahead and look it while I lead the next
Emblem Cast is a thing.
That's close. I mean, that's strictly Fire Emblem, so I would actually give that props over us. But we're close second or third.
But if you put N4G, if you N4G it, we're like the first three results. So that's pretty
really?
Good. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I like that. All right, moving on. Let's actually just knock out Fire Emblem while we're here. Because why not? Fire Emblem Warrior, has been in the news again for two different reasons. Number one, some scans from Famitsu, who is quickly becoming a very big news source for this game, reveal two new characters that will be in the game. One is Cordelia from Fire Emblem Awakening, one of the most popular characters from that game and arguably in Fire Emblem, and Female Robin. Now, if that last one sounds weird, that's because Male Robin was already confirmed in the game. It was actually shown in a demo at Japan Fest in Europe. That sounds weird now that I say that out loud. But moving on. This has raised a lot of questions, because why would they waste another... waste is a tentative term, but another slot on what appears to be a clone. Now, obviously, we don't know if this is a selection option, if you will. Like, you could say, hey, do you want male Robin or female Robin? Or if female Robin has entirely different moveset, we don't know as of yet. But it appears to be two different characters. And if that is, that's raising a lot of red flags with fans. While Cordelia, on the other hand, is getting praised because this is our first confirmation of a flyer character in the game. So that opens up a lot of possibilities for characters like, say, Kamiya, Kaida from Shadow Dragon.
My dream support.
Yeah, or who's Chocho's favorite? Oh, yeah, Mikalas. She wants him in the game so bad. To be honest, I kind of want him too. I mean, we could get Minerva, but I would prefer Mikalas. We could get both, though. I wouldn't be surprised if we got both. You know, get the brother-sister rivalry thing in the storyline. That'd be awesome.
We do need some villains.
We do
but
need
I'd
villains.
Rather see Kamas, although we already have a lot of horse characters.
Yeah, we have a lot of horse characters. But wait, do we have a lot of horse characters? Because we only have Frederick and Xander.
Currently
yeah.
two right now, yeah.
Yeah, so but again, we got time. But before we get to that other piece of news, I want your thoughts. Do you think if female Robin turns out to be a separate character from male Robin, is that a mistake on Koei Tecmo? Oh, Omega Force.
Well, thinking about regarding to their past games, against Samurai, Hyrule, all their entries in the Warriors games, what I'm seeing so far, I don't think it will be taken too much away from the game. I mean, I imagine that the male and female Robins, I imagine they'll be taking up a single slot, and perhaps like one can actually choose. I mean, that's one hypothesis. Another hypothesis is that, like, when they're going to go the whole alternate dimension route and have, like, different Robins in different universes, and, you know, how complicated that can be in any game or media whatsoever. So that's my second guess. But in regards to on their side, like, having another quote-unquote clone character, it won't hurt them per se as much, but it does, I agree, it kind of raise concerns because, again, like, clone characters definitely are viewed down upon because, again, like, is there anything different? Unless they add on to the story in a very unique way, yeah, that's remains to be determined.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm okay with her being an alternate skin. And I think, Todd, you've been the leading expert on this, but I think that they confirmed that only male Robin will be playable in the story mode. I'm not totally sure. I that's what I heard, though, that male Robin is in the story and female Robin isn't. So I'm not sure if oh, sorry, Todd, did you have the answer to that one?
I do not. I'm intently listening to this.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what I've heard. I'm not totally sure if it's true. But if that's the case, it sounds like they're going to be the same character. So that I'd be more okay with it in that way. Even if female Robin wasn't in the main story and she was a totally different character, that would just be a total waste of a spot. Overall, I mean, I'm thrilled that Cordelia is in. She's my favorite, one of my favorite characters ever. I'm definitely going to be using her most of the time. I'm glad that they have they're starting to diversify the classes a little bit, but I really feel like they're bungling the roster further and further, especially if female Robin is different from male Robin entirely. And then, because that brings into the question, what about male Corin versus female? Are they going to have a male Corin as well? It's definitely...
It would be odd if you know, they didn't, so...
Right, because then we're pushing a lot of characters at that point, and I forget, they said there's going to be a lot in the game.
Yeah, there's going to be a big roster from what we're told.
It would definitely behoove them to just give male Corin a reskin, be a reskin as female Corin, and female Robin reskin of male Robin for when you're grinding other challenges or stuff like that. I mean, there's so many other characters out there that they still haven't touched on that they really should put in the game. So.
All right, well, and that brings us to the other news, which is a screenshot of the game, which shows the inventory screen, for lack of a better term, for the game, showed all the weapons that are available. And so naturally there are swords and lances and axes, because the triangle is important here. You have bows, you have tomes, but there is not much else. There was one icon, which I'll get to in a second, but it appears as though daggers and shurikens are not going to be in the game, which implies that the maid characters, the ninja characters, and thieves, I'm talking recent thieves, not like old school thieves, thieves are not going to be in the game, which means that characters like Felicia, Kaizo, Saizo, that's a fusion dance, Saizo, Kaze, Gaius, and characters of the like will not be in Warriors. And some people are happy about this. Some people aren't happy about this. One of us wasn't happy that the ninjas are taken out of the game. Tyler?
Indeed.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand this to a degree, but then Will brought up an interesting point about who Omega Force brought into the other Warriors game.
Right, right. Because, again, case in point, if you look at the previous game, Hyrule Warriors, they had Sheik in the game, which Sheik was pretty much is the quintessential ninja of Hyrule Warriors. I wouldn't consider Impa as well, but given the her skills of Naginata, and technically she is kind of a bit of a ninja in a way, but I digress. But yeah, Sheik is the quintessential ninja in that game, so I wouldn't be surprised if the news is still not yet confirmed, but if they do have a ninja, I think make a great case, because again, they have touched the ninjas before. And again, with Samurai Warriors, I mean, again, with Hanzo Tori, the different ninja classes, which they have been getting popular recently. But so yes, I'd be happy to see ninjas, but if they take ninjas out, it's, I don't know, it's kind of a weird change of pace for them.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this. I mean, it's, again, the maids and the ninjas were only in Fates. So I can understand it, because if they brought them in, there is no similar class in like Shadow Dragon, and obviously there are no maids in Awakening, so that one I'm okay with. I need to see the full roster. I've been trying to tell people to calm the heck down, because
you've been saying it for a while though, and they continue to not do anything to alleviate the roster.
I grant you part of this, but first of all, this is not confirmed. Okay, this is based off a screenshot that a fan took during, I think, a trailer or something. And two, we did just get Cordelia. And recently we got, you know, the male Robin, who was shown to be a magical BA warrior. And, you know, Frederick, isn't it? Frederick and Lyssa are axe users. You know, we have been getting more characters, you know, that are not sword users. Okay, so, and yes, we got Lucina. That was important to the Awakening story trailer. But, you know, we have been getting more, and as we get closer, if the game really is releasing in Japan on 9/28, we're going to be getting more and more info. So let's just, we've got to be patient, okay?
That's true. I do want to say, though, I really think that Ninja Class should be in, because they're only focusing on those three games. Yeah. The Ninja Class is a vital. It's one of the coolest classes. They should definitely put Saizo in. I'm a Kaiguro fan. She was by far the best. But if they wanted to, honestly, maybe they should just put Kaiguro in it, balance out the female to male ratio.
We'll see. I think the male to female ratio is actually better than you give it credit for.
No, I'm not saying it's bad right now, but I said Saizo and I thought, maybe there's already a lot of male characters. So
good point. All right, we're gonna move on from Fire Emblem now. So if you need, you know, more Fire Emblem, go to that other podcast. No, don't go to the other podcast. Stay here. Let's talk Capcom, because Capcom was in the news recently. If you recall, a few months ago, we talked about how Ultra Street Fighter 2, the Final Challengers, I still hate saying that name, was an exclusive on the Switch, but it was, you know, a 25-year-old update of the original Street Fighter 2 game, and it was meant to gauge how much support Capcom would give the Switch, which we all hated because it was a port, and as you probably saw with the review score, it wasn't exactly the best Street Fighter game out there. And that's saying something given what happened with Street Fighter V. However, somehow, the game sold basically 500,000 between early to late May to now. So that's actually not terrible. And apparently this was enough for Capcom to say, okay, we're gonna port some more games for you. And like 2 days later, 3 days later, it was revealed that Resident Evil Revelations 1 and 2 are coming to the Switch later this year. Now, before you think this is random, it is also coming to the Xbox One and the PS4. But still, you know, not exactly what I wanted. I mean, it's not like they have another fighting game coming out that I, you know, kind of wanted to come to Switch, you know, when it has, you know, Capcom characters and Marvel characters.
That
doesn't exist.
Like, there's no game like that.
No, I know it's just one of infinite possibilities, but...
yeah, and there might be a universe where that game does exist. But...
yeah, or two universes that, like, somehow collide and have, like, bad facial animations. But, no, I want Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite to come to Switch. It hasn't been announced yet, and I'm really hoping that this Resident Evil thing is just the beginning of this, but oh man, Capcom, you're just frustrating me, man. I mean, sure, I kind of get the Street Fighter thing, but do a port as the gauge, and then I'm hearing rumors that the upcoming Monster Hunter XX for Switch, like, that's another test. I'm like, you just said we passed the test.
Yes, that's what they did say, that in their financial briefing. I saw that earlier today.
Yeah, it's just like, you just said we passed the test, and now you're giving us another one? There's no more tests! Stop doing that! We're 5 million consoles in, millions of units, millions of game units sold! Just give us the dang games!
I mean, if there's any port they probably should bring, is probably, again, Resident Evil 4. Because, again, it first came on the GameCube, and then with Wii.
Stop! If you're gonna bring Resident Evil, like a pure Resident Evil over, just bring over Resident Evil 7. Seriously. I mean, enough of 4. 4 has been ported so many dang times. On the GameCube, on the PS2, on the Wii, with the Wii shooter and everything. Stop it! Let the game die!
It is funny how seeing all the all those games that I would never considered playing, when they say coming to Switch, I'm like, ooh, interesting. Maybe I will pick this up. I probably won't. I'm not a big Resident Evil fan. I've never played any of the games.
This is why it's a problem. It's like, I can respect this because the original Resident Evil Revelations was a 3DS exclusive, and then, you know, it got ported everywhere, and, you know, then they made the sequel, which is all right, and, you know, they're bringing it over, but Capcom should just see the potential in this and just bring over more games, especially Infinite, given all the crap it's been getting in the news recently, between, like, the bad facial animations and the questionable roster. If you want to talk about questionable rosters, Warriors ain't got nothing on Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Okay? At least Warriors said, hey, we're focusing on these three games. I kid you not, someone at Capcom said that no one remembers the X-Men.
What?
I kid you not. Someone said that they are not playing the X-Men in the game because they are not openly familiar characters. And I'm pointing to X-Men Apocalypse, which is on my VCR right now. Yes, I still have a VCR. It's a DVD combo. And it's right over there. And we're getting the Dark Phoenix Saga next year.
Starring the great Sansa Stark.
There, yeah. Yeah. And like, so I'm sorry. Who doesn't know the X-Men? Hmm? So yeah, don't tell me Omega Force is screwing up, you know, Fire Emblem Warriors when I can point to Marvel vs. Capcom and all those issues. But I still want it on the Switch. And with all these ports only work if they're quality, which we all know ports that aren't, and they mean something. I'm
like
sorry,
Ultra Street Fighter, the Final Challengers. I mean, the game was poorly rated, and yet it still did that well. Like, yeah. Capcom should be looking at this and saying, wow, this wasn't our best effort as a game, and it still
did
this.
They lucked out. They lucked out. Even diehard Street Fighter fans, like we have here on the Outer Haven, who reviewed this game, they're like, yeah, it's good, but, I mean, come on. Now, I understand them not porting Street Fighter V. That was specifically made for the PC and the PS4. I get that. But Marvel vs. Capcom wasn't. So why not? Just saying. So, yeah. It kind of makes me sad. I mean, I'm glad that Capcom at least did something well, and it was good enough for them to say, hey, let's make more ports. Give us a port that matters. God,
right,
dang it.
Right.
Give us a port. Okay, moving on to other third-party news. Ubisoft! Ever since E3, people have been talking more and more about Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And sure enough, like this last week, two or three trailers and a game preview has been released, and people are going nuts about it.
Listen, I just want to, before we go into this further, I want to take the moment to pat ourselves on the back. We broke this news last week that it was time to start shifting gears to Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
We did.
I said that in my intro. Good job. We are a breaking news podcast.
Yeah. High five.
Right.
That was very true. You did say that. And again, it comes out on the 29th, which is, you know, less than 4 weeks away. And, you know, we're going to see if we can get a review copy of it. Fingers crossed. But everything I'm seeing, everything I'm reading, because there was a preview event Will told us about in Manhattan, and people are just raving about this game. And, like, in the good way, which is awesome.
Right. And just to say, again, when they released the trailer of the game, with that floating rabbit ghost opera singer, it's just brings that good old time to the great mighty something.
Well, we've said far worse than that on the podcast.
I know. I want to keep it PG, but yes, the great mighty boo. Yes.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Kingdom Battle right now is, and I didn't get this impression at all watching the E3 trailer, but a lot of people apparently were afraid it was going to be too easy. If Nintendo was making it, I might be worried that it would be too easy because it's Mario. But people are saying this game is hard, which is really exciting to me because it should be hard. It's a tactical game, and seeing the complex gameplay mechanics that people are talking about in these preview events makes me even more hopeful for this game to really make a huge impact on at least my time with playing Switch games because it seems incredibly good. So,
I mean, if you look at XCOM originally, XCOM is a brutal game when you think about it, because again, like, it will not forgive you if you make one mistake. Like, the enemies will shoot you, will barrage you, they will overrun you if you are careless. So yes, I mean, add that and put it in a Mario game, yeah, it's good. From what I've seen so far, it is definitely seems promising to give you difficulty, like in the same way as any Mario platformer in the later levels can be. So yes, it will provide you a challenge.
Yeah, it was funny when the E3 trailers came out and, like, you know, we really went to previews, like with the Treehouse event. People kept saying, man, this game looks like XCOM. And, like, now people are like, oh my gosh, it is XCOM, but it's like rabbity, you know? and it is. And it's like, I keep hearing things like saying, like, you know, people keep saying, like, yeah, it is like XCOM, and that's not a bad thing. You know, it's tactical. Your movements matter possibly even more than it does in XCOM, because, you know, you can use your teammates to shoot you over to other areas, and you have to think about the environments more, because they can wither and deteriorate and can be blasted away. And like the Phantom, the Bah! Bruh, you know, trailer, you saw like Yoshi with a rocket launcher.
Yes, yes.
It's like Yoshi has a rocket launcher that is 100% at long range. You know, so you have to clear the shot for him so that he could kill those rabbits, and the evil rabbits, I mean. And you know, Princess Peach has some good weapons. And
no, it's, you don't kill them, you warp them back to where they're from.
Yes, warp them.
Yeah, because as we all know, rabbits just won't die. But I'm very excited. And again, we were so worried when we saw the first images of this game. Like, are you kidding me? Mario and the rabbits? You know, a lot of people wanted the rabbits to die. You know, like the worst. We talk about death battle a lot. The guys hate the rabbits, and they unfortunately had to do like a community death battle between the rabbits and the minions. And they go, can we just have both of them die?
The minions. Like, that's a good point. The minions worn out their welcome a long time ago.
Yeah, and a lot of people thought about that about the rabbits, because you know, what are they really? I mean, yes, they were popular on the Wii, and they helped usher in, if you could argue, a new age for Rayman. But then they just blew up. They had their own TV show, and you know, people were like, screw the rabbits. But this could put them in a positive light, potentially.
Right.
And it won't wash away all the bad feelings, but at least you could say, man, the rabbits suck. Yeah, but what about Kingdom Battle? Okay, they suck except for that. And you know, and that's okay.
I can hear those conversations now.
It's like, man, the rabbits are horrible. Yeah, but did you play Kingdom Battle? Oh man, they were great there, but like everything else, horrible. So, you know, that we're excited. And if we can get our hands on the game, we will preview it to all get out and then review it, hopefully love it, and then recommend it to you. So stay tuned for that. Sticking one more third-party news, and I'll let our resident Sonic lover take care of this. So Will, tell us about Sonic Mania. No. Tyler, go ahead.
Yes, Sonic Mania comes out in just 12 days. I can't believe it's that soon. It's kind of been, honestly, they haven't built up as much to the release as I feel like they should, but... they recently revealed some special stage information, which I'm very excited for. They're iconic and the classic special stages. It's a mix of Sonic Heroes, Sonic CD, and Sonic 3. So you have to collect blue spheres to make Sonic run faster, to catch up to a blimp that's flying away from you like they did in Sonic CD. And it's going down this almost a racetrack like loop, like in Sonic Heroes, where you had to chase the thing before the time ran out, before it got to the end. So it looks like this perfect, just like the whole rest of the game. It seems like it captures exactly what people loved about the old school Sonic games. They also revealed new bonus stage information. Special stages and bonus stages are different for those not in the Sonic world, which is a clean rip from Sonic 3, where you collect blue spheres in a spherical platform, and you have to find them all, and you can collect all the rings by creating an outline around the course. A lot of good old school fun there. And they also have time trial mode, which I am so ready for. Me and my younger brother have been playing Sonic the Hedgehog 1 on our phones and racing each other on Green Hill Zone to see who gets the fastest times. Currently, I own all three fastest. So you can, and it seems like it's easy to reset. If you fall behind your time by too much, it'll just fade out and drop you back down to the beginning. They're adding a lot, which is, it to me, one of the best parts about this game, because the old school Sonic games, as fun as they are and as replayable as they are, because they're so classic, they are sort of, they kind of lack for content by today's standards, because you go through, you get all the emeralds, you beat the game, and then from there, you can either play it as Tails and do the same thing, or play it as Knuckles and do the same exact thing. Now you have time trial mode, which adds a whole other level of replayability. They also recently came out and said this game is going to be just as long as Sonic 3 and Knuckles, which is by far the longest one. It takes about 3.5 hours for a fast player to beat those. So Sonic Mania is coming out soon, and there's the videos on YouTube. You can check it out there. We have an article about it on The Outer Haven as well. In just 12 days. So I will be all over Sonic Mania when that launches.
So are you saying you love Sonic?
I don't want to say that I'm like the number one Sonic fan on this podcast. I don't want to go out and say that, you know, I don't want to be too crazy. But yes, I do love Sonic. And yes, I do love Sonic more than pretty much everybody else in the world combined.
If you think you're a better Sonic fan than Tyler, tell us on our Twitter handles, and then if we can get if we can get someone who really believes that they are a bigger Sonic fan than Tyler, we will bring you on the show and we will have a Sonic off.
Yep. Yeah, we will. Can you recite all the words of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle? Can you? Probably not. I can. I can literally perform that game on stage.
Okay, that's not the issue. We're the point of a Sonic off is to prove that you know more about Sonic, period. So it'll be up to me and Will to find the Sonic questions that you might not know to see who truly knows Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's me. I truly know it.
Okay, so yeah, the gauntlet has been thrown. Let's see who takes it up. One last piece about Mario and Rabbids before we continue on. I wrote a piece on Outer Haven about the game may potentially, it's not confirmed yet, it may be $50 at launch. And you say, well, why is it significant? Well, it's $60 a game, pretty much, for, you know, the modern consoles. And, you know, there's some people who are, you know, still hesitant about, you know, buying this game. So, hey, $10 is $10. So you could go get the game, then go grab a meal, and then, you know, eat it while you're playing your Switch wherever. So
you could take that $10 and buy, like, 15 or 20 orbs with it. And
that's true. If you're a hero and likes to dump their wallet into the game like Tyler and Will, then yeah, sure. But now this comes from a report inside of Ubisoft that was independently confirmed. Now, this doesn't mean it will happen, but it is intriguing. And, you know, again, $10 is $10. Moving on to pure Nintendo news once again. There's been some bad things going on with the SNES Classic. Will, please elaborate.
This was supposed to explore in last week's episode, but basically, Walmart had canceled many pre-orders of the SNES Classic, and reported back that it was due to a system glitch, that the reason that it went up early than it did. And naturally, this put off is that many people were very pissed off, including myself and other staff here in the Outer Haven. But what's even more interesting is that not too long afterwards, Nintendo announced the news that pre-orders will indeed be coming up in the second half in late August for the SNES Classic. Now, this raises a lot of questions. Like, Walmart could have easily kept the pre-orders and would avoid a lot of flack. But now that we have news, everyone is going to be on their toes, on their computers, pressing F5 to refresh just so they can get a pre-order locked down and ready. And let's just say it's pretty much, it reminded me again all over the NES Classic situation all over again. However, Nintendo did say that there's going to be a much more plentiful supply till the end of this coming year. But how much is plentiful, we don't know. But all I know right now is that many people are going to be on their toes, getting ready, and just going to be jumping on like blood whoop sharks right now.
The biggest issue for me here was that Walmart didn't refund those people. They said it was a system glitch. It was their fault. They should. I know that people didn't lose their money. The PayPal accounts are going to be refunded. But Walmart should have given people like a $5 gift card or a $10 gift card or some way to say, we're sorry. We know you're upset that we lie to you about your pre-order for this thing that everybody wants. Here's just something to say we're sorry. You know, I was surprised that they didn't do anything like that.
I'm just,
yeah, it's just, a lot of people are really pissed on this, and yeah, naturally so, because we waited for so long for any news. Heck, as soon as the news broke up that this pre-order was up, most of the staff here just jumped on it right now, and now just say like, nope, I'm sorry, it was a glitch, sorry, too bad. Is like, we're pissed.
I just really hope the SNES Classic doesn't go the way of the NES Classic, because I'm like, we all know what happened there, and you know the 2.3 million shipped, and like, you know, 20 million people still want the system, and then there were reports that like Amazon and someone else like didn't actually sell through their copies.
Yeah,
and so
there's people are finding them right now, actually.
Exactly. And it's just like, how convenient. And, you know, Nintendo said, yes, SNES Classic is, you know, it's going to be more plentiful than the NES Classic, but we still don't know how much that means. And now there's this pre-orders business, and, you know, like, oh, the last week of August. That means we have basically less than a month with pre-orders. I mean, I really feel they should have opened it up in, like, you know, middle of July. That way they could see all the pre-orders selling out, and they could say, hey, let's make more so we can ensure that, you know, pre-orders are as high as they can be, because you know they're going to sell out. Okay, just look at the Switch, and this is a nostalgia factor that the Switch doesn't have. So I just really hope this goes smoother than the NES Classic, because I do not need to see thread upon thread upon thread of people say, oh man, Nintendo screwed us, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that would be really unfortunate. That would be really, considering they're for all the goodwill they've been building up with the Switch, to throw it away for the Super Nintendo Classic would be total shame.
Yeah. And, you know, there's still people mad that, you know, Chrono Trigger and, you know, Paperboy, you know, classic, not on the system. So don't mess this up, Nintendo. We're not asking for much. We're not asking you for the load of price or whatever, but just come on, man. Let us order the console. Give us enough of the console so we can all have them, and then just let us move on. And then I've been seeing reports of, like, trademarks filed for the N64 Classic. I'm like,
not again.
That's another podcast session entirely. Like, what should be on the N64 Classic? Oh gosh. Okay, we're gonna calm down and we're gonna move into our final topic of the night. Amiibo. Shut up, Will. Amiibo. They've been in a part of our lives for a long time. They have come in numerous shapes, sizes, and defects. We all remember those lovely early days.
Oh, yeah.
Helped carry us through the slump of Nintendo, weather the storm of the Wii U's late life.
That's
too.
True. That's very true. Well said, Tyler. So yeah, they've been a part of our lives for a long time. And though they started out with very simple purposes with Smash Brothers, they really, really evolved since then. And even to this day with the Switch, they still have functionality in games. But a recent reveal of upcoming Amiibo seems to point to Nintendo kind of locking away a good chunk of content within these Amiibo. Is this right? Is this wrong? Should we give Nintendo the benefit of the doubt? Sounds like it's time for a Nintendo discussion. Okay, got my 17 cups of coffee ready. For those who have not heard, the upcoming and highly desired Metroid Samus Returns for the Nintendo 3DS is going to have two brand new amiibo with it. Samus in the cover pose and a Metroid, which is, you know, squishy and adorable. Makes you actually want a Metroid, you know, minus the whole sucking your energy thing out. And in conjunction with the original Smash Brothers amiibo, the Wario Suit Samus and Zero Suit Samus, that's four amiibo for this game. And each one of them will have special unlocks in the game. Now, some of them are basic. Some of them are, like, special concept art. Some of them is, like, unlocking the soundtrack for the game, which is cool. But for the Metroid, the literal Metroid, it unlocks Fusion Mode, which will give you the fusion suit from the fan favorite hit Metroid Fusion for the GBA. Now, while this alone isn't a big deal, Fusion Mode is basically hard mode of the game. All the enemies will be increased difficulty, challenge you in your new suit. And a lot of fans across many, many places have been raving badly about this, because this looks like Nintendo locking away content in a amiibo that you don't have to own to play the game. Now, again, with Smash Brothers, with, you know, Mario Party, with Animal Crossing, you got these to enhance the game. That's their logic, and they're right. But with this, it's if you want to play the hardest mode in the game and do it in one of the fan favorite suits of all time, you have to buy the Metroid amiibo. And that doesn't sound right to a lot of people. Tyler, I want to start with you. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it really goes back to the origin of Amiibo, where there was a big concern over how are these things going to be used in game. So they when they announced them, they said Smash Bros. They outlined pretty clearly that they are going to be AI that you can train to fight a certain way, and it turned out that that wasn't totally accurate. But and then they said they're going to be in Mario Kart 2, and they're going to be in Yoshi's Woolly World, and all sorts of things. And every one of those games has kind of experimented a different way with the Amiibo. For Mario Kart, it was just a simple costume unlock, which is totally a nice little small bonus that might not justify the entire purchase of the Amiibo, which is $13, $14. Other games like Breath of the Wild did a really nice job where they had the figurines all look great, but they had the really cool poses, and they also added treasure chests to the world map that you had to find. You can read a diary, and it gives you clues as to where the stuff is, but you have to find them like that. It really added to the game, and it added really helpful content with you could get a Pona, and you could get all sorts of different things. With this game, it seems like they're kind of pushing the opposite of the Mario Kart spectrum, where if Mario Kart really didn't do enough to warrant the Amiibo purchase, this game is kind of doing too much to warrant the Amiibo purchase. Because if Hard Mode was just a regular DLC, right, it would probably cost like $5. And like, a lot of games do that, and I really don't think Hard Mode even should be a DLC at all. But with this game putting it behind a bundle of Amiibos, it's making a mode that a lot of people love, because I'm not a huge Metroid guy, but I'm pretty sure that every Metroid, or most Metroid games, have a hard mode that's unlockable, right?
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, definitely, yes.
So, taking away a feature that's pretty key to a lot of players in the franchise, putting it behind a paywall that's ginormous compared to the cost, definitely, I can see how it would rub people the wrong way. Now, me personally, it's not the end of the world, because I love the Amiibos. I love having them on my desk. I think they look really cool. I want them anyway, just to have the figurines. Like the Mario Kart stuff functionality, I never even scanned my Amiibos because I didn't care. But I loved having the collection just because I like having a collection. So I would have gotten these if they did nothing in the game. However, for people who don't buy Amiibos or collect Amiibos, I agree. I see why they're mad. This is a little too far.
Will?
Well, in my view, like, this is what's one of the major fears regarding to the original of Amiibos. And just basically, like, when the Amiibos first came out, this is what, again, like, how are they going to utilize these Amiibos with these exclusives, add-ons? Because, again, generally, they at first came out as cosmetic, which generally wasn't really much of a deal-breaker. But now, when you come to, like, it actually adds on content, like getting Epona and Breath of the Wild, or like getting these extra goodies to come with it that actually enhances gameplay, that's where it starts to get blurry a little bit, because again, it helps you, like, again, getting a force a great stat Epona is just one of the major perks of owning an Amiibo, and of course grinding gear, grinding materials. But now with Metroid, to basically lock, as you said, lock off like any particular features like the Virus Suit or Gallery or a special mode, and you have to buy an Amiibo for that? Yeah, that is probably where the line is being drawn right now currently, because we, more generally, a lot of the, like, even games of yore wouldn't even go this low, if you ask in my opinion, because we pretty much, like, I remember back in the day, we unlock our hard difficulty, unlock all these great cheats. No need for paywalls and all that. But now, I mean, especially with the rising of, like, DLC and add-on content comes after the game. Yes, yes. And just with that rise, I think Nintendo's kind of, like, slowly going to that route, which is kind of scary. Like, they have done Amiibo very well so far, but now going on to the whole season pass, but now going on to via Amiibo with this way, it's, yeah, I can see why people are definitely pissed off, because again, we unlocked this thing. You would never expect we have to pay some amount for a difficulty, let alone a cosmetic, add-on for a game. So, I mean, if you're an amiibo collector, that's all fine and dandy, but for those who don't collect it, they want to not want to go down like spend like $13, because again, these amiibos cost, I mean, when you buy a lot, they add up. And
oh, yeah,
goes more beyond the season deal. The only thing that's only saving grace of amiibos is that it works on all games that comes out afterwards. But for this case, yeah, I'm quite worried regarding to how they're gonna like make amiibos and like to unlock these content, because it's like almost a similar case of that of Capcom's on this DLC as well.
For me, it's a complicated issue. Because when I first heard about it, I'm like, well, I wouldn't even play hard mode in the first place. And there are plenty of gamers who are fine with just the normal difficulty, you know. I'm not like someone here on Fire Emblem who likes to do lunatic mode and, you know, just grind it out. I don't mind playing on regular mode because I want to experience the story and experience the game. And sometimes normal mode is hard enough. But as I really read into it and I found out about the fusion suit and how this was the hard mode, I'm just of two minds on this, because on one hand, I think it's actually kind of brilliant on Nintendo's part, because they're doing it with an upcoming amiibo, which, if we're being fair, is quite unique in comparison to all the other amiibo that we've had, you know, with the squishiness of the Metroid. And with this comes the chance to play as Fusion Samus once again, which is my favorite Metroid game, and one of the few Metroid games I've actually beat. I was very happy. But no, Metroid Fusion was awesome, and so I love that they're bringing that back. And to attach that to an amiibo is okay in theory, but for people like me, I'm not an amiibo getter. I haven't gotten an amiibo since, who was it? It's like either Charizard or Mega Man or one of them. You know, I'm still looking for Ike because I just can't find him. Plenty of Lucina, no Ike. But I can understand, like Tyler said, why people are mad, because if you don't collect amiibo but you want to play as Metroid Suit Samus, Fusion Suit Samus, you have to spend that extra money, and all of a sudden a $40 game becomes $53. Plus tax. So it's actually closer to 60 when all is said and done, just to get a hard mode that arguably should have been in the game in the first place. Now, should Nintendo have put a hard mode in it and then a special hard mode with the fusion suit, that might have gone off a lot better, because that way you still have the hard mode, but then you have this super special mode with the fusion suit that's attached to me, but that might have gone off better. But if this is true, like fully true, and there's only hard mode, which I've been hearing, only hard mode via this amiibo, yeah, I think Nintendo's gone a little too far here. Now, the soundtrack, the concept art, I don't really care about that. I mean, you know, the art's going to be leaked online. We all know that. And the soundtrack, it'll come out one way or another, okay? So, do I feel that Nintendo is regressing? Kind of. You know, obviously not all amiibos like this. Not all games are going to be this content locked, for lack of a better word. But it is worrying, because you don't want to see this from Nintendo. Like, I wrote an article for another website about how Nintendo doesn't do microtransactions, you know, outside of Heroes, which is a special case, obviously. But, you know, people... If Splatoon was handled by someone else, it would have microtransactions for everything. Okay, think about that. And Nintendo didn't do that, and we're grateful. And in fact, I don't think you have to pay for anything in Splatoon, which is...
No, free DLCs and updates.
Yeah, free updates, free DLC, free stages, free weapons, everything. And now, I think they're doing this to really capitalize on the fact that Samus is finally back, and they know that people are going to want to get these new Metroid amiibos, which is fine, but we just got Samus back. Don't exploit it, okay? I don't want that. And that's the worst thing. It's like, now people are going to be fearing what's going to happen for Metroid Prime 4. It's like, oh, are you going to have, like, you know, a key weapon locked away in an amiibo. You know, that's going to be the rumors now up until Metroid 4 comes out next year, the year after that. So I really hope this is a one-time thing. I really hope Nintendo doesn't try and exploit this, especially now that they're doing good with Switch sales. Don't ruin this. Okay, you don't need the money anymore, like Tyler said. You don't need to be carried by these amiibo anymore. Let the players play. I just want to play the game. I did not have relation. I'm joking.
you know, that doesn't tie in at all, but I was totally blown away. I was totally captivated by that. I got to be honest. That was beautiful.
We know how I am. I am with the impressions. Very great impressions. I do great impressions. Absolutely best impressions. My impressions are legendary. Absolutely. Absolutely great.
I'm Rand Khan of Game Informer, wrote an article about this that really got us thinking about it. And he said he used the word exploit, and you were talking about it too, Todd, made me think of it. I don't think that they're exploiting Metroid fans here. I don't feel like that's their intention is, oh, this game won't sell well, so we really need to get extra money out of these Metroid fans. We really need to shake them down. I don't think that is their logic at all.
No, I know. When I say exploit, I mean exact opposite. They know it's going to sell. You remember
right.
how you
yeah,
and me reacted when we saw Samus Return. We lost our dang minds. And then the internet blew up. Oh my gosh, a Metroid game is 3 months away. When I say exploit, they're exploiting the fact that they know the fans are going to want every ounce of this game as possible. So they put the fusion suit, which again is a fan favorite, in the amiibo to make people go get this so that they can get even more out of the game. So I mean it as they exploit because they know it's going to sell. And they want to make this as profitable as possible.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that they just think, oh, these amiibos are pretty cool. People are going to want these. What can we put in them? And they thought, oh, well, what if we, you know, like Breath of the Wild had its hard mode come later. Mm-hmm. What if we put its hard mode behind it? And they wanted to have something important to put into a game. So it didn't feel like Mario Kart, but also wanted, like they needed to incentivize it. But I think they tried to incentivize the purchase too much.
I agree. And if you recall, though, then again, I suppose hard mode for Breath of the Wild was DLC. But to contrast, that was a bunch of things, and it was a pass that includes the story mode for the next pack. So it was one purchase getting you the hero trials, the hard mode, the new items, the masks, the armor, everything. That was all in one purchase, and the champion's ballad. Where this is, you're getting an amiibo that unlocks one mode for this game, and you get a suit with it, which is awesome. But you know, this is much lower tier for a purchase than what we got with Breath of the Wild, in my opinion. So,
yeah.
Again, it's a complicated issue. I mean, I'm not getting it. Am I mad? I won't be getting the Samus suit or the Fusion suit. Sure, I get it because I love Fusion. But it's not going to ruin the game for me. I'm getting Samus Returns, okay? I want this on my 3DS. I want to play it. I want to enjoy it. And I can't wait to get it. But I do understand those who say, I want the hard mode to just naturally unlock if I beat the game. And I can respect that. So, I don't know. I'm with Will, though. I really hope this doesn't become a trend. I don't think it will, given the games that are coming up for the 3DS, mainly Mario and Luigi and Pokemon Sun and Moon, or Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. I don't think there's a lot of potential for that there, but you never know.
I mean, currently right now, this is what we know right now. Hopefully Nintendo will definitely change their minds in regards to the stance, regards to just basically locking away all about difficulty modes. So hopefully Nintendo changes their minds in the future.
If anything, it would be okay if, like, let's say a month from release, okay? Like, a month or 2 months from release, they unlock it naturally. Like, they make it so you can play the hard mode with just the Varia suit, you know? And then that way, the amiibo would just give you the fusion suit, which would be a worthy unlock for an amiibo. And people won't have to worry about it. So I kind of hope they do something like that. Because that way they can still make the money off the amiibo, and people will still buy the amiibo for the fusion suit, but now they're not complaining about the hard mode. That's my hope.
Right.
So with that, we are going to end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast.
Sorry. I know. I haven't been doing this many for this past week now. But
yes,
I just want to say,
you have. What are you doing, Will?
Gomenasai. But I just want to say, go, Team Ketchup! Fight for us! Go! For Marina! Okay, I'm done.
In the words of Strider Hiru, no place for amateurs. That was so amateurish, Will.
Yes, that Will, that was unprofessional. This is a pro Pearl podcast. We don't need your propaganda.
Oh, shut up, Tyler. I am not Team Pearl.
Todd's Team Pearl, everybody. You should read the messages that he's you know what? He's in denial right now. He's trying to act like he's somewhere in between. He'll be Team Pearl by month's end.
Is that a bet?
Well, you have a lot of power in that bet.
Is that a bet? Because if it is, I want to steal it on this podcast. So let's see. Today's the 3rd. The 31st is the last podcast. That is perfect.
Listen, you have to
Look
be honest.
That.
You have to be honest. You can't just go, oh, I'm still Team Marina just for the sake of it. You have to be honest. And we have to have a formal discussion where I explain to you, you know, your ways.
How I can prove it to you? Let's just tentatively, because obviously things can change in the course of 3 weeks. So, oh gosh, that's 4 weeks. Dang. That's right. This is a 5 week month. I'm sorry then. All right. 4 weeks from now, August 31st, we will do a special Settle It in Splat. You and Kromcho, I think I've talked to her about this, but I'll talk to her again. You and Kromcho on Team Pearl.
Yes.
Me and Will on Team Marina. And if you honestly, you have to be honest with me, because you know I'm going to be honest with you. If you honestly think that I am Team Pearl, I will join you. But you have to truly, honestly think that. You can't just, because you right now, you're totally, you are fake news. Okay? I am Team Marina 100%. I even told you why I'm Team Mayo. It has nothing to do with Pearl. Okay?
Interesting. It sounded like a flimsy excuse to just not say you're on Team Pearl.
He just wants to be muted, Will. He just wants to be muted.
Hi.
All right, but again, we'll plan for that in 4 episodes time. But again, we'll have to see if we're all available then. But I guarantee you, I am not Team Pearl. Okay.
Sounds out.
I am all Team Marina. And if you don't believe me, check out the video I just made, which I'll be showing Tyler later, because I am a mix master, baby. Yeah, complete with record noises. You will hear it in the video.
That's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. So, you know, I am all Team Marina, okay? If for no other reason, the Pearl scares me.
Yeah.
She looks like a freaking squid vampire.
Alrighty.
Okay, moving on.
I'm just gonna ignore that ignorance. I'm just gonna not pay attention to it and just
ignorance.
You know.
Oh, look who's talking ignorance. You're siding with Pearl. That is ignorance. You think that Pearl is more innocent than Marina. That is ignorance.
You know what? You know what? This really makes me think. We discussed this on Twitter, and I just want to put it out there for the people. I made a really great point. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I made the comparison that Marina is like Kyrie Irving. And
what?
Pearl is like LeBron James.
Oh,
like Pearl carries the team. She's the life of the show. And yet Marina like is just constantly like conniving behind her back to try to stab her and take her throne.
Did you just hold on? Stop. Did you just say that LeBron James is not the star of the Cleveland Cavaliers?
No. I said he is the star. He is the Pearl of the team.
You just said that Pearl was Kyrie Irving.
No. If I did that, I misspoke. I meant Pearl is the LeBron of the team.
And then Marina is Kyrie Irving?
And Marina is like Kyrie. Like, she's always, like, gossiping about Pearl behind her back, really quietly,
what?
Like, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Maybe you should start playing the objective, Pearl. I'm Marina.
I would like to go and apologize to the audience right now for opening up this can of squids right now. I apologize.
You are to blame for this. You are to blame for this.
If you had just picked the right team, we would have never had this problem.
Or if you just did the smart thing and kept his mouth shut while I was trying to end the podcast.
Oh, end the podcast? Oh, we're on air? This is... Oh. Hmm.
What do you think we've been talking about for the last hour and a half?
So, did I talk to you guys about my Five Stars and Fire Emblem Heroes
yet? With that, I am muting you both. And we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. What do you think about this amiibo situation with Metroid Samus Returns? Do you think Nintendo has gone too far? Do you think it's okay? Let us know. We have our Twitter handles here on the podcast page for this episode on theouterhaven.net. You can tweet at us or you can leave comments below. We do answer those. We love having chat with fans. And while keeping it civil, please tell us, are you Team Ketchup or are you Team Mayo? Despite what me, Will, and Tyler think, it is perfectly okay. No, what am I saying? I was a bit. Despite what Will and Tyler think, you can like one without liking the squid that and or Octoling who is attached to it. Okay? If you like Mayo, go for Mayo. If you like Ketchup, go for Ketchup. You are not fake news for liking one and not liking the squid / octopus that is attached to it. Okay? Thank you. And then obviously we will talk next week about who won, who lost, and why Marina is better. Moving on. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Tori Force Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.
Go Team Leo!
Really? You just had to get that in?
I did.
Yaddy yaddy.